Well, good morning, Northside family. Good to be with you today. My name's Nate, if you're new. And real quick, we know this is fall break, and so a lot of people are traveling. Can you welcome everybody online right now? Just want to say hello to you. And, you know, if you're in Destin, Florida, we're jealous. I mean, we're praying for you right now online, right? No, but hey, I want to welcome you guys. And we really want this place to feel like home. I love getting a chance to meet a number of you guys before service. I got to meet Chris and Roberta. Chris just moved down here from Indianapolis and Loda. And this is the thing about everybody. We can come into this place and sometimes you can feel like nobody knows you, but you need to remember this. The Lord knows you. He loves you. And he has given you the gift of the church to have a church family, to come alongside you. And if you're new or you're not connected here, I want you to feel like family because that is God's heart. And right outside in the lobby is a place called the living room. We got a free gift if it's your first time, but we want you to feel like home here because this is the invitation that Jesus has given us. And that's why we're doing this series called Chill. And it's talking about finding God's rhythm for a heart at rest. Because when it comes to fall break, everybody's like, man, I got to get out of town, right? I've got to get a break. I've got to go to Gatlinburg because we all need more pancakes and go-karts, right? You know, it's like that is what, if you need your soul change, you go to Gatlinburg, you get yourself some pancakes and go-karts, right? And it is good. The only thing is sometimes when we come back, man, we come back more exhausted, more broke, and actually more stressed out. And you're like, man, that vacation was supposed to refuel me, and now I feel more dejected. And there's nothing wrong with vacations. The only problem is this. If we try to live vacation to vacation, thinking that that one vacation is going to hold us over to the next 8 months, we're going to find out real quick, it ain't going to last. So what is it? What is it a way for you and I to have our hearts be at rest? And what we discovered is last week in Matthew chapter 11, this is a foundational passage for us, is this. Jesus says, here's what your rest is. Your rest is this. Come to me, all of you who are burdened and weary, and I will give you, what did he say? Rest. And then he says this. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He said, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light. And what Jesus said in that passage was this, rest isn't just a nap, naps are good. Rest isn't just a vacation, vacations are good. What he was wanting followers of him to know is this, if you want the rest of God in your life, rest is a rhythm. See, rest is about the rhythm that you and I live with. Rest is about our ability to follow God. We know there are busy seasons. We know there are crazy seasons. We know there are kind of some down seasons that are a little bit more chill. But he says, if you want to find rest, what it is you find rhythm with me. You walk with me. You follow me. You find my rhythm. And Jesus says this, when you walk in rhythm with me, you will find your heart at rest. And on October 22nd, some of you are going, man, I would love to know what that rest looks like. I would love to know. Some of you are hungry to learn more about God. And then you open the book of Leviticus and you go, I have no idea what's going on. And you close it and you put it back, right? And you're like, they're killing some animals. I don't know what's going on here. And sometimes when we read the Bible, it can be a little bit defeating. It can be a little bit overwhelming. And so on October 22nd, from 9 to 11, Saturday morning in the West Auditorium, one of my favorite mentors, Dr. Neil Windham, he's been a Bible college professor. He was one of my Bible college professors. He's part of the Northside family. He's going to teach how do you really open God's word and allow God's word to speak to you and fill your heart. And I want to invite you to sign up to RSVP. It's free to be a part of. We just want to pour into you because God wants his word to dwell deep in you. But one of the rhythms we're going to talk about at the end of the month is this. The more you follow Jesus, here's what you're going to find him at. You're going to find him at parties. This is what I love about Jesus. Jesus, you know, he tells the story in Luke chapter 15 about the prodigal son. And when he comes home, the father throws a party for him. And so we thought we want to be biblical. And so you'll want to be here October 29th and the 30th because we are catering in chili from Huber's with their fried biscuits and apple butter. And you will taste and see that the Lord loves you that weekend, right? It's just free for everybody. And you're like, man, like no strings attached. Like even if I'm not a believer, we'll even give you two bowls of chili that weekend, right? You know? And it's like, hey, we want, because there's something about coming together. There's good rhythms about this. And the more you'll find as you follow Jesus in scripture, it's this. He has a rhythm for your life and my life. He has a way for you and I to step into what he has for you. One of his rhythms is this. It's a rhythm of generosity. We're going to talk about that next month, how God has gifted you and I to be generous people. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you guys for being generous people, for walking in generous ways. And we got generosity boxes on the way back, or you can give online. But one of the ways that Jesus lives is he is a generous God. He's gifted us with grace. He's gifted us with gifts to bless others. And we get to walk in that. And so today we're going to dive in to the next rhythm that Jesus has for you and I in this series. And what's interesting is this. Before we dive into the rhythm, here's the question I want to ask you. Have you ever come to this place in your life and you've said this phrase, it's just a season? Show of hand real quick, right? You're just like, man, it's just a season, right? You know, and it doesn't matter what you're going through. Maybe it was in work, right? And I talked to a buddy after service, after the 9:45. I said, how you doing? He goes, tired. I said, why? What's going on? He goes, worked 68 hours last week. You're going to work 68 more this next week, right? And I'm like, whoa, man, that is pushing, you know, the pedal to the metal. And here's what our temptation is in work. Sometimes you have busy seasons and we say stuff like this. When this season's over, right? When this season is over, maybe you're in a relationship and you're like, last year I said, when this season is over, we're gonna be better. You're still in that season, right? You're like, wait, when is that season? I found out the hard way last year. My daughter did her first year of elementary cheerleading. And we weren't doing the travel cheer yet. I'm like, just see if you like it first. It's the school team cheerleading. I made the mistake and didn't read the fine line print. I'm like, oh, you're on the school team. That means when basketball season's over, you're done with cheerleading. Nope. Found out. Guess what? They didn't even cheer at a basketball game, right? But their practices were all year round. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I am reading the fine print from now on before I sign on to anything. But what we found ourselves saying all the time this last year, when this season's over, then we're gonna get rest. When this season's over. Do you ever find out this, that whenever that season's over, guess what comes next? Another season. You're like, when do these seasons stop? They don't stop. And so that's the question for you and I today is this. You and I are always gonna find ourselves in a season. You guys are always gonna find yourself going, man, I'm through that. And now a new season's here. And how do I navigate this season? How do I find soul rest? How does my heart have peace? And what we're gonna find today is this. Jesus begins to show us the way. Too often times, this was the mistake I made. This was the vision I had of Jesus growing up. You know, I'd go to Sunday school, and anybody remember like the flannel boards back in the day, right? You know, like the flannel graph, man, old school, man. And you would tell the story on flannel graph. And so here was the vision I had about Jesus. And no teacher taught me this. This was just my own imagination, right? And this is what I thought. Jesus woke up at about 9 a.m., and he had his first cup of coffee, right? And then he went throughout the towns doing this. Bless you, brother. Bless you. Then he had lunch about 11:30 because he beats the lines, right? It's like there's no rush, you know, for a euro there in Jerusalem. And, you know, and he has lunch about 11:30. And then he just has a nice relaxing day. And he's probably in bed by 8 o'clock and he gets 12 hours of sleep like a good savior. And then he's up again, right? The only problem is this. When you start reading Jesus's life, it sounds nothing like that. Matter of fact, what we're going to look at is in Mark chapter 1. If you have your Bible, I want to invite you to open there. It's right after the New Testament begins, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Or if you have your Bible app, you can open that or it'll be up on the screen. But what I find fascinating is this. In the book of Mark, John Mark, the way he writes it, he uses this word 39 times in the book of Mark. This word shows up. You'll see it if you study it. This word shows up 39 times immediately. And immediately Jesus did this, and then immediately he did this, and then immediately after he healed this person, then immediately he went here, and then immediately he went here. And John Mark is just writing this fast and furious pace. And I'm like, well, that doesn't look like anything that I imagined of the life that Jesus grew up in or how he had. But then here's what's interesting. This is the rhythm he's going to teach us today is this. 13 times throughout the Bible, throughout the book of Mark, this is what it says. 39 times it says the word immediately. 13 times it says this word. He got away. He withdrew to a solitary place. And in this tension of immediately, and people were banging down his door, and immediately, and fast, and furious, you see Jesus slip away. See, what I've begun to realize is the more I follow Jesus is this. His life was not less chaotic than ours. Actually, his life was more chaotic. And yet he still had rest for his souls. See, this is the invitation. This is the rhythm that Jesus wants you and I to have. He goes, I know your life is crazy. I know with cell phones, like God's not like, oh, the iPhone, I didn't see it coming. How am I gonna handle this, right? You know what I'm saying? Like he's not surprised by this. He knows that you and I feel the temptations to only go and go and go. And he knows you guys are more technology, you know, we're more technologically advanced. We're more rich than any other time period in the history of the world. And yet statistics show this, we are more burned out, depressed, and joyless than ever. How could that be? Could it be that we don't have the rhythms of Jesus in our life? Mark chapter 1, I want to invite you to look at the story of Jesus as he invites you and I into a new rhythm today. Listen to what he says in Mark chapter 1, verse 32. It said, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. Can you imagine that scene? It's at night, and now all these sick people show up, all the demon-possessed people show up, and it said the whole town gathered at the door. You imagine that? You imagine, like, we just had like 150, 160 people go down to Guatemala this morning on a mission trip, and can you imagine the first thing they get down there is just a bunch of demon-possessed people show up at the door, right? And you're like, some of you are like, that's why I don't go on mission trips, right? You know, it's like, that's all, just stay here. I'm praying for you, brother, right? You know, but you go on down. And Jesus, the whole town, it says, shows up at his door with sick and demon-possessed, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. The whole town shows up. This isn't neat and orderly. This is people pressing in, probably people cutting in line, chucking people to get to Jesus. And he also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. People are clamoring for Jesus. They're pushing in on Jesus. But then here it is, verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you, everybody. Can you just imagine that? Jesus is like, guys, I'm praying, really? Like, leave me alone right now. Everybody's looking for you, Jesus. And Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also, because that is why I have come to earth. And so he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. We find this tension right here. The whole town shows up, he heals them, and then he slips away and he prays. In the midst of the chaos, he escapes to meet with his heavenly Father, and he begins to pray. And even when he's praying, the disciples barge in, like, everybody knows that you're here. Everybody's looking for you. Come on. And then he makes this distinction, and he says, no, because I'm supposed to go to these other villages and pray, because that is why I have come. That's why I'm here. And this is what I love about this. Jesus, as we follow him, he is not foreign to chaos. He's not foreign to the demands that people are putting on his life. Some of you today, you have so many demands on your life and you feel overwhelmed. And here's our problem. Sometimes we go, yes, we worship Jesus, but I doubt he can help me with the overwhelmedness. And I'm going, no, this is exactly what he faced. But we got to learn the rhythms of Jesus. Here's the rhythm that Jesus is teaching you and I today. It's this. It's the rhythm of reflection. Now, no, you guys did not erupt when I said that. You're like, yes, reflection, right? That's what I came here for today. I know, but here's the power of reflection that Jesus did right here in this passage. Here's what happens. Reflection always drives direction. See, the thing that we don't do in the midst of our chaos is stop and back up and reflect on what's going on. Some of us here today, that's why we're stuck. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and what? Expecting something different. See, sometimes we believe that we'll get unstuck if we just try harder. And Jesus goes, no, actually how you and I get unstuck is this. You and I need to begin to back up and to begin to reflect on what's going on. I know for some of us in this place, you're like, no, Nate, I don't want to reflect on that, because if I do, that means I'll have to deal with it. Because ignorance is what? Ignorance is bliss, and I'd rather just not know what's going on deep down here in my heart, right? I'd rather just kind of keep that over there. Here's the only thing. Ignorance is no longer bliss when it starts costing you. And when it starts costing you, you're no longer ignorant to the cost. And see, Jesus teaches us this rhythm and this place. He's going, I know everybody's crashing in on me, but in the midst of the chaos, I've got to step back and get perspective with my Father. I've got to step back. I've got a buddy, Gary, owns a coffee shop here in town. It's called Culkin. And I said, Gary, Culkin, what does it mean? He goes, well, it's Danish. And I'm like, well, that's why I don't know what it means. Number one, right? Don't speak old Danish, whatever. And he said, it's Danish for the word river eddy. And he said, a river eddy, he goes, he loves to kayak. He loves to do all this stuff. And he says, here's what you do when you kayak is he goes, I love to go down category 4 and category 5 rapids. He said, the only thing is this, when you go down those category 4 and 5 rapids, he said, if you haven't pinpointed your place of rest, he said, that's how people die on the river. He said, it's not that so much the rapids got them. He said, it's that you haven't identified your place of rest. And he says, when you go through the river and you go through the rapids, he said, the river eddy is moving from one place of rest to another place of rest. This is the rhythm in the life of Jesus. He rests with God, but then here's what happens. The rapids of life come in, and he moves to the next place of rest. This is going to happen today. This is going to happen tomorrow for you. We are here. We are quiet. Yes, Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. And I guarantee you this, your salvation is going to be tested in the parking lot when you leave this place, right? Because as soon as you leave here, the rapids are going to come in. You're going to be tested. There's going to be things that are going to come after you. And here's our problem. Oftentimes, we've not taken the time to address and create those places of rest in our life. The whole town wanted Jesus' attention. And you know what he does? Give me a minute. Yeah, but the whole town. For some of us, that's what we long for secretly, isn't it? To have like a million followers on Instagram, right? Or Snapchat, or whatever it is. I'm so behind. I don't even do Facebook. I know. It's like so pathetic, man. Like, and it's one of those things. But here's what we know. Our desire deep down, because here's our thought, the more attention we can get, I bet that will bring more peace. I bet that will bring more rest. Actually, the more attention you get, the more rapids it brings into your life. And Jesus knew this, I've got to stay to this rhythm of reflection. I've got to stay in on this because here's why. When we forget our why, we forget our way. This is why Jesus was so resolute, even though the whole town was pushing in. He was like, no, I got to get away with the Father because I need to know more what the Father wants me to do than what the world wants me to do. And can't you hear a little bit of the Lord's Prayer in this? It doesn't say that he prayed the Lord's Prayer, but this is exactly what he does. The Lord's Prayer starts like this. Our Father in heaven, what? Hallowed be your name. And then it says this, your kingdom come, your will be done, where? On earth as it is in heaven. Isn't it amazing that after he spends time with Jesus, the whole town wants him to come in there and keep ministering to him, and this is what he does. He goes, no, I need to go to these other villages to preach because that is why I've come. And he disappoints people. John Ortberg, he's a pastor, one of my favorite authors. He gave me one of the best definitions of leadership I've ever heard. He said this, leadership is disappointing people at a rate they can handle. And I'm like, parenting is disappointing your kids at a rate they can handle, right? You know what I'm saying? And you begin to think about this a little bit more and more. And he goes, sometimes we think leadership is this glorious thing. And actually, when you become in charge, guess what's going to happen? You're going to make people mad. And Jesus is here. He probably made that whole town mad. But here's why he needed to listen to the Father, because he knows this. In your life and in my life, here's what's going to happen. The more you follow Jesus, guess what's going to happen? You're going to disappoint people. The more you follow him, people aren't always going to agree with your decisions. And what's going to give you rest when people have conflict with you and I is this. Who are we reflecting on? What is our why that is driving us? Who's the one that we're getting away with to say, God, I want my life to reflect you? What I'm learning more and more throughout Scripture is this. You and I will live between two fears. The fear of man or the fear of God. You see it right here in the life of Jesus. Are you going to fear what they think about you, Jesus? Or are you going to fear the Lord? Or are you going to walk in the ways of the Lord? This is what I love about Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23. This is what it says. It says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. It doesn't say, and all your troubles will go away. What he'll say is this, the more you walk in the fear of the Lord, and here's what the fear of the Lord is this, God, your ways are bigger than my ways. God, I'm for you, I'm for your kingdom. I want your kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven. That's what it looks like to fear the Lord. And he goes, the more you and I walk in that, you will experience troubles, but you will experience rest in the middle of trouble. I found this fascinating. There's the Center for Bible Engagement did this research. 40,000 people took this research between the ages of 8 and 80. I don't know if they like literally cut off people like 81 or 82. They're like, you are not taking this. I don't know if that's how they did it or what. But on this Center for Bible Engagement, they interviewed 40,000 people. And what they wanted to find was this. What is causing transformation in the life of people? Here's what they came up with. This is factual data. 40,000 people between 8 and 80. Here's what caused change in their life is this. They interviewed them. They said, you know, does your life change when you read the Bible one time a week? And they said, actually, if you read the Bible or you go to church one time a week, there's minimal change. There's minimal change. It's like if I go to the gym one time a week, I'm like, why am I not in shape? It's like, you go one time a week, and even then, that's kind of iffy. I don't even know if that's a workout, right? And then it said this, if you read the Bible two times a week, is there change? And they said, still, there's minimal change. Three times, there's a little bit more. But they found something that was interesting. Between 8 and 80 was this, 40,000 people. When people read the Bible and reflected on God's word four times a week, there was an exponential change that happened. And they said it was like a tipping point. And what happened was this, the majority of the week began to get the majority of the reflection on God. Listen to some of the stats that came back from this. People who struggled with alcohol, they said this, when they started reading God's word and spending time reflecting with God four times a week, their desire for alcohol went down 57%. Fidelity within marriage, they said, of sex outside of marriage went down 68% when people reflected more on God's word. Pornography use went down 61% because they just simply spent more time reflecting and being with God. And what they found was this, people shared their faith went up 228% when they spent time with God, and they began to invest their life in others to help make disciples by 231%. See, sometimes we're thinking our behavior will change us, when actually what we find is this, it's your reflection and what you and I are reflecting on that begin to cause the change. Even in physics, you know how a swing works? I keep my illustrations real simple, guys, right? I'm just plain Joe right here, right? You know how a swing works? If you want to go forward on a swing, what do you got to do? Guys, it's simple. You got to go backwards, right? You're like, sideways? No, right? You know how you go forward on a swing? You push back. And when you push back, here's what happens. It creates the momentum forward. You see it in the life of Jesus. Every time there was a big movement, when he went to choose his 12 disciples, he did this. He spent a whole night in prayer. He pushed back, and then he went forward. God, I just spent a whole night praying, healing, helping people. I got to push back. Thank you, Lord. But what would you have me to do? Because they want me to come back. Oh, you want me to go preach those towns? Then I will go forward, and I'll go preach those towns. And see, this whole rhythm of rest is you and I going back and reflecting and then moving into our day and reflecting and going into our schools and reflecting and going into our work and reflecting on who God is and his word and what he has. And some of you are going, Nate, I would love to. I just don't even know how to get started. Let's just follow the ways of Jesus. Here's how Jesus spent time with God. If you're taking notes, here's what he did. You ready? Number one, this is what he did. He just simply went and he found a place. This is what the scripture says. He got up very early in the morning, and he went off to a solitary place. One of the greatest disciplines you can do this week is just identify a chair or a table in your home or in your apartment and say, God, this is where I'm going to read your word this week. There's 31 Proverbs, one for every day. Maybe you start in Proverbs. Maybe you start in the book of John, and you read one chapter a day. But here's what you can guarantee is this. As soon as you start sitting down to reflect on God's word, you're going to get interrupted. Can I give you that guarantee right now? All right? Me and my wife this morning, we kind of have these chairs in our living room, and that's where we just sit and read in the morning. We don't make it there every morning, but that's where it's a comfortable spot. And as soon as we sat down, I'm not kidding you, 5 minutes into this morning, here comes Carter, and he just jumps up on our lap, right? And it's like, have you ever read with like a seven-year-old? You're like, okay, son, you're okay. Session's over, right? You know, session's over. Let's make cereal. And here's what I found. Every time we try to do that and we have these reflection moments with God, just count on interruptions happening. It happened to Jesus. He goes away to a solitary place and his disciples, hey, everybody's looking for you. I love what Rich Velotta says, one of my favorite pastors. He said, when you and I sit down to begin to reflect and talk with God, he said, just count on interruptions. But he said this, he goes, when I sit down, he goes, I feel like 1,000 ideas coming to my mind and I get distracted. And he said, here's what I had to tell myself. He goes, even if my mind gets distracted 1,000 times, every one of those distractions are an invitation to come back to the loving presence of God. So if you find yourself getting distracted, you sit down and people start texting all this other stuff, maybe put it on airplane mode, but allow that distraction to be a defining moment to come back to the presence of God. He got distracted. But this is what Jesus knew. I've got to push back in order to push forward. I've got to push back to go forward. I can't go forward without leaning back into God. Matter of fact, at mynorthside.com/rest, we put a bunch of resources there because I know for a lot of us, we're all wired differently. We find rest differently. And there's something on there called the replenishment cycle. And there's this chart on there. And no, it's not Northside Bingo, all right? B19, all right? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not what it is. But here's what it is. For a lot of us, here's the thing. You already know what fills your tank. You already know when the best time of day is for you to meet and reflect with God. You already know. You already know what you need to do. And here's what this just simply does. It just goes, hey, for you to begin to rest, what do you need to do daily? For you to begin to release emotions, what do you need to do daily? Maybe do you need to call somebody weekly for you to reflect on God? What's your plan daily? What's your plan weekly, monthly, periodically, or annually? Next week, we're going to talk about fun and recreation and putting the rhythm of fun into your life. Here's the thing. Oftentimes, you and I already know what we need to do. We just don't block off time to do it. You already know what you need to do. We just need to find a place. So that's what Jesus did, and when he found a place, he began to hear from God, but it said this, not only did he go off to a solitary place, this is what it said, he went off where he prayed. See, when we get in a place, here's what that whole place is all about. It's about you and I taking time to pray. You and I got to become people of prayer. And some of you, I'm sure maybe you've asked this question, or you're going to ask this question, does it really matter even if I pray? Really, does my prayer change anything? Let me just put it this way. Jesus began his ministry with prayer, 40 days of fasting and prayer in the desert. He fueled his ministry with prayer, and then he ended his ministry with prayer. You remember his last prayer? It came on the cross, and he said this, Father, what? Forgive them. They don't know what they do. You talk about a rapid chaos moment. When the sin of the world is being put on you, you know what he does? He prays, and then he ends by his last prayer. It is finished. You know what I found about prayer? It's not so much that it just changes God, but prayer changes me. And the more I slow down, the more I back up and go, God, before I begin my day, or at lunchtime, God, man, that morning did not go well. Help me to finish this day well. And when you end the evening with your prayer, what I'm learning more and more is this, reflection isn't just thinking about God, but reflection is actually talking with God. It's you and I beginning to have this real conversation with God outside of just this hour here. It's you and I making this conversation. See, confidence comes by you and I having our conversation with God. Confidence comes when you and I begin to make time for him. Some of you are like, Nate, I don't know how to pray. Here's an acronym for the word pray. Super simple. It helps me to pray. Starts like this. Praise, repent, ask, and yield. Just praise. God, thank you for today. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. God, thank you for being a generous God who actually wants to meet with me. Just praise him for who he is. Repent is this. God, I missed the mark here. God, I'm struggling with this here. I just got to admit it. This is where I'm at. And then we ask, God, would you help me? God, here's what's going on. And then the final thing is this, to yield to God. God, I'm not just going to ask for it and walk away. God, I'm going to yield my life to you. I found this fascinating in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. The people of Israel wouldn't yield their life to God. They wanted to keep going forward. Here was the only thing. They would never take time to reflect and align their life to God. Read the whole Old Testament. That's it. God's going, I'm ready to move you forward, but push back into me, and I'm going to move you forward. And they go, no, God, we got it from here. Thank you very much. And just disaster after disaster. And listen to what it says in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. It says this. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Talking about all of life, the journey ahead. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask for my way. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And then this is what I love that he says. And you will find rest for your soul. God says, Israel, lean back into me and you will find rest for your souls. But then he says this to him, but you said, we will not walk in it. Too many times, this has been my mistake. I've tried harder than simply leaning back and trusting in the Lord. Tried to move forward, only to find myself be exhausted. And God's going, no, Nate, I've got rest for your souls. But here's the thing, you gotta lean back into me. You gotta reflect, you gotta allow my life to be aligned to you. Jesus ends this passage by saying this, let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also because this is why I have come. Here's what he invites you and I to do today. It says, you ready? Follow our purpose. Follow our purpose. A lot of us, here's the trap we fall into. We follow our passion before we follow our purpose. And the way that God says it is this, when you follow my purpose, you will find your passion. When you begin to follow my rhythms, you will begin to follow and find my passion for your life. When you begin to lean back into me, this is what I love about Jesus is he says this, he's going, I know people are gonna be disappointed with me, but guess what? I'm gonna lean into what the Lord has for me. And what you find is this, you find Jesus navigating the rapids of life by simply doing this, moving from one place of rest to the next. You know how you navigate this season that you're in right now? From one place of rest to another. We're not gonna wait for Christmas break to get here. Some of y'all ain't gonna make it, right? You're like, man, I'm gonna crawl if my next break is Christmas break or spring break or next summer. Jesus says today, I just want you to lean back into me. I know your life is crazy right now. And even when you reflect back on me, even when you begin to focus on me, when you go forward, doesn't mean all the chaos is gonna go away. But when you go forward, here's what you're gonna go forward with. You can go forward with rest. Rest in the storm, rest in the chaos, rest because my presence is with you. For some of you here today, maybe you have never rested in the Lord before. Maybe some of you have before and you go, man, it's been a long time since I've talked with God. What we want to do today is this. We want to create a moment of reflection. Instead of saying, now tomorrow morning, do this, right? Because let's just be honest, half of us aren't going to remember this sermon anyway, so that's okay, right? You know what I'm saying? Everybody, what'd you talk about this weekend? I don't know. They all get mixed up in my mind sometime, right? What I want to do is this. I want to create a moment of reflection. Here in a moment, we're gonna put these questions up on the screen. This is just your time to reflect on with the Lord. This is what the questions are gonna say. It's this. What do you need to thank the Lord for today? Just to pause. I know there's a bunch of things going on today, but to push back into gratitude. Push back into gratefulness. Next question is gonna be this. What do you need from the Lord right now? He wants to hear from you. He wants to journey with you. He's not offended by your request. And the last question is going to be this. What do you need to let go of so Jesus can be your greatest purpose? In that prayer time, Jesus had to let go of making everybody happy. For some of us, that's the hardest thing, disappointing people. And in that moment, this is what he had to do. Okay, God, I can only follow one voice. It'll either be the voices of the crowd or it's gonna be your voice. And God, I'm gonna follow your voice. An incredible opportunity from God today for you and I is this. In our reflection, he will give us his direction. We lean back into him. He will give us the way forward. And so right now, I wanna invite you to reflect on him, to have a conversation with him, and find the rhythm of rest that God has for you today. Let's reflect right now.